Thank you. I think I'm on. Right? Perfect. Well, good morning, everyone. And so excited to be here. As Pastor Lowell said, it was unfortunate the way it worked out that Michelle wasn't able to join us. I'll just flip here. There's Michelle. So just a quick show of hands. How many of you were here when Michelle was an intern? Just to kind of get a gauge of that. From what I know, knowledge-wise, I believe to this day she still holds the distinction of being the only one to ride a horse into the sanctuary. Is that record hasn't been broken? Not yet. So not that I'm planting ideas in younger people's heads or anything like that, but I know she so enjoyed her time up here and very formative in terms of her own spiritual journey and leadership. And so it's just a real privilege. And she said, please be sure to say hello to everyone up here. So it's just a great way to do that. The other little bit of trivia that I just found out, had no idea, Lowell, that you were going to be doing the donation for Les and Lois. Now, I haven't met them, but their granddaughter has started coming to Urban Road. So when I saw that today, I texted her and said, hey, I saw your grandparents' picture, and this is what they're doing. So she was pretty excited. So it's neat to see all the little connections that begin happening. You'll have to excuse my voice. I'm getting over that one of those weird colds that I'm just coughing and hacking. So please excuse that. But I'm excited to share a little bit of our story and to, as well, just share some of the lessons that we are learning along the way. This is certainly just one glimpse of one small section of our country that we are working in, and we're learning lots, we're failing, we're in some areas, and you get back up and you keep going. And that's what I love about the kingdom of God, is that we just continue to move forward in what God is asking us to do. But thinking about it earlier, there is nothing like when a church is in action. And it doesn't matter if you go across the world. We've had the privilege of traveling to many different spots. But I love seeing the local church in action, because there's nothing like it in the entire world. There's nothing like seeing a group of believers and people coming together who are being awakened to spirit-led imagination and innovation. When you see people stepping out and risking in faith, you know and intuitively that that is what we are called to do and what we are called to be as Jesus followers. And so to come here and to see and to hear stories of what God is at work in this assembly and in this church is just such a thrill and an encouragement. The other aspect to it is that I love it that there's no one particular way to do church. There's so many different expressions. And so can you imagine how boring life would be if it was all cookie cutter? If we were all the same, if we all processed life the same way, or if every church was identical in that way, it would be boring. And yet where God takes people and he begins birthing things in that context and he begins allowing different creativities and imaginations and giftings to happen, all of a sudden there are these unique local bodies that begin growing up, reaching people in that particular area. And so we come across in a lot of different church expressions. And so for us, it's never about, well, we're doing something better. It's not about better. We're doing something different, but it's what God has called us to do. And we're upfront with people as they come in saying, it may resonate with you, it may not. And if it doesn't, that's totally great. There are phenomenal churches around that we would be more than happy to plug you into. But we're going to step out in what God has asked us to do. So I've got way too much stuff to share, so we'll just see how things progress here. But I want to tell you a little bit about our story. I'm not going to do the preamble up to the launch of Urban Road, which might be for another time. But this was a dream of church planting that was in our heart for about 5 years. And we kept praying and saying, God, when is this timing going to be released? When are we going to see things happen? And for 5 years, we held on to that dream deep inside of us. We were doing different ministries at the time. Both Michelle and I had been pastors at two different churches. And then we left. She left the one church she was at, came over to where I was at. Then we found ourselves unemployed for 9 months. There's a lot of crazy stuff that was happening and saying, God, what are you trying to show us in all of this? Ended up working at Teen Challenge for close to 5 years. And through that, God kept just allowing those seeds of imagination to begin getting rooted in us. And so fast forward to the spring of 2010, we finally felt that release that God was saying, now is the time I want you guys to step out. And we had two other couples that were with us, and then our two kids. So Caden is our oldest. She's going to be 10 in March, and then our little guy Nevin is going to be 8 in March. And so we had our two kids, and then our friends had one kid. So there's 3 kids, 6 adults. That was it. We knew this was the timing. And so, long story short, we also knew that God was asking us to take a pretty big step of faith. We've got a large movie theater in our city called Colossus. It's actually the Western Canadian offices for Cineplex. This thing is massive. It is 18 theaters. Let me show you the size of the building. This thing is crazy. 18 theaters, an IMAX theater. They average well over 1 million people come through the doors every year. So it is no one building in our city. And so as we were talking about, people will ask us, well, why a movie theater? And I like the response, why not? When you look at it, that a movie theater is a well-known space. All you have to tell people in Langley is the movie theater. You don't even have to say the name. People know immediately where it is. I mean, it's a UFO, basically. And it's pretty ugly that way, but people know where it is, and yet people feel familiar with it. It's close to transportation. You don't need to set up seats. You have built-in technology. It's great in terms of a space that way. But probably the biggest reason for us when we began looking at this as a venue was we realized that if God is asking us to create something a little bit different, not for people who are into church or maybe people that wouldn't step into an existing church, we realized we need a safe environment that people feel comfortable in. And we've had a number of people that have come through our doors that have said to us point blank, they said, had it not been for the fact that you guys were in a movie theater, we would never, ever have come to church. Those are the people that God's asked us to reach out to. And so it's been a phenomenal experience to be part of that. I remember the 6 of us adults standing in this theater, and we knew God was asking us to take that step of faith, and it was kind of crazy because the seating capacity, if you add up all the theaters, is about 5,000 seats, if you combine everything there. And we're like, we're 6 people and 3 kids. And yet it was one of those God moments where we knew he was asking us to take this step of faith. And we said, it sounds crazy. And I had people say, like, why are you doing that? Why not just start off in a home with a Bible study and just do it that way? And it was Luke chapter 5 that God just birthed again in my spirit where he said, you launch out into the deep. This is what I've called you and asked you to do. And it doesn't make sense. And so we've been privileged, though, to do that. I'll show you. This is our theater that we were in for Easter Sunday. And it was just an amazing time as you begin looking at what people that are joining and coming in. We've had people that have shown up randomly to go watch a movie. Isn't playing at that time, and they've ended up just walking into the theater and hanging out with us. And there's just been some great stuff that's happening there. You just never know. Don't ever discount places. Don't ever discount environments that maybe feel uncomfortable at times. And Shella said this as well. When she was a Bible college student, not that many years ago, she could have been in trouble for going to a movie theater. And here we are, a Pentecostal church, actually now meeting in a movie theater. And it's neat to be able to do that, and a huge privilege as well that Michelle and I get to do this together as co-leads. And it's pushing a little bit of the boundaries and comfortableness even within our denomination for the both of us to be leading. But there's nothing like serving with your spouse in ministry. And when you get to work with your best friend and to be able to dream together and work together, it's pretty cool. Let me show you just one other quick picture. Some of you might know Tommy. Tommy and Claire were with us for a little bit, and Claire's amazing. She was working with our kids for a bit. They've moved a couple cities away from us, but Tommy at that Easter service did a painting just in that hour-long service, and it was amazing what happened. So, keep imagining. How I want to structure this a little bit this morning is around 4 words. Or 4 ideas. And we'll move through these fairly quickly. But I want to talk about where we are as a culture. Talk about a little bit of starting point for why church planting. Talk about reimagining. And then give you just a brief theological framework for that. But where we are is such an interesting question because it comes up, why church planting? There's lots of churches. And so, again, it's not a position that we're doing something better, but it's saying we have to be thinking differently because there is a new world that is out there. It's if any of you are Lord of the Rings fans, there's a fabulous line that I think speaks to the heart of our culture. One of the characters says this: "The world has changed. I feel it in the water. I feel it in the earth. I smell it in the air." Thought, if ever that's a picture of where we are at as a culture, that would be it. We live, whether we accept it or not, whether we believe it or not, the reality is we live in a post-Christian and increasingly post-Christian world. In other words, it used to be that people maybe had gone to Sunday school as kids and then eventually left the faith or walked away or through different circumstances, maybe didn't follow up on that. But they had at least some type of knowledge of biblical stories growing up. Post-Christian world is now the fact that people have no clue what any of the biblical story is about. And so it's a whole new paradigm that is happening. Just as an example, it's kind of horrifying in one sense, but last Easter we had a family that had come out just for a couple Sundays, but they were from a church background. So that's the kind of the caveat there. And I'll flip back to the picture. On this particular Easter service, you'll see in the bottom left-hand corner, we had a cross. We don't normally have that in our service, but for Easter, we brought it out. And after the service, this kid goes home to his mom, and they're talking about the service. And he said, "Mom, I have a question for you." So what was that giant T at the front? This is from a family that had been attending another church, that had come from a church background. That's the type of culture that we live in. That people are asking, what does that mean? What are all of these things? What are these stories that we are talking about? There's someone has said it like this, that there is an inoculation to the gospel. If you're in the healthcare profession or maybe you get your own flu shot, you know that a flu shot is designed for one thing. It gives you some antibodies or it gives you some of the flu, right? And so it's so that your body actually develops antibodies so that at some point, if you are exposed to that flu virus, your body has the antibodies now and it's going to fight against it so that you don't get the flu. In the same way, a post-Christian culture says that people have been inoculated against the gospel. Maybe their parents, maybe their grandparents had gone to church. They've heard bits and pieces of it, and they've built up a bit of a resistance, even though they haven't experienced it all the time, but they have this resistance. And so you can talk to people about church or about faith, and you can tell in those conversations there's resistance or questions about, well, why do you believe that? And so there's this whole inoculation that we're fighting against. They say now, statistic-wise, even in Bible Belt U.S., so you have to make sure that the stats are even worse in Canada. But they said now the average committed churchgoer goes 2 out of 5 Sundays. That's commitment. I don't know what it's like here, but I'll say that within our own paradigm at Urban Road, that probably holds very true. Probably 2 out of 4, 2 out of 5 Sundays people will be there. So it's very much a different culture. And so that's the starting point. And so church planting is one way of addressing that, of saying, if that is the reality that we are living in, then we have to look at new expressions or ways that we can work at that, or how are we communicating the story that is there. And so that is the starting point for us. The Bible, as we know, is story. If we read it simply as a theological book, we miss most of the point to it. It's not a series of facts or just doctrines that we are trying to learn, but it is a story of movement, a story of motion, of God stepping into our world, into this messy brokenness. And the story is about how God is bringing his life in collision with our lives. That's what the gospel is about. And so part of the things that we talk about a lot within our context at Urban Road is this sense that every person has a story. And I think a lot of times we can forget that, or we can look out over a crowd and not always realize maybe what people are walking through in life. And yet the reality is we have all been influenced and shaped and defined by story. It's growing, it's messy, it's beautiful, it's full of tensions and challenges. It has this whole kind of complexity of layers that are there. None of us have it all figured out. when it comes to life and faith and God. And that has to be the starting point. Someone said it like this, and I fully agree. They said that the most powerful sermon that you could ever preach or live as a Jesus follower is simply two words. Me too. Me too. When we can resonate with where people are at in life, when we can begin sharing some of those challenges and that messiness together, and then realize at the same time that God is at work in us, all of a sudden it opens up so many other doors. The ultimate Me Too story is, of course, God stepping into our world. He plays by his own rules. He steps into this world and says, Me Too, I'm going to come in as a baby into this messiness, this brokenness, and I'm going to go through the things that you go through. I understand what suffering's about. I understand what pain is about. It's the ultimate Me Too of God stepping into our world. Well, there is something so releasing that happens when you can accept and begin functioning out of this reality of messiness. I remember fairly early into the process of Urban Road, I have to say this part, I am a perfectionist, or maybe I'm a recovering perfectionist, because church planting has drilled out a lot of that out of there, because things that go wrong, go wrong. And it was this one particular Sunday, it was like everything that could go wrong went wrong. I know that's never happened to this church. I know it's never happened in your life, but it was one of those moments where we were showing some videos, and I had given the wrong videos to the video guys, and they put up stuff on the screen. It's like, that's the wrong video. And so you go through a little bit of that frustration. And then we're standing there, and we have it's only a 60-minute service, so it's very short. We only sing maybe 2-3 songs at top. Sometimes we show videos. There's all sorts of things that happen. And this time it was some live worship that was happening, and Michelle leans over to me and she said, is your mic on? I was like, no, it's totally turned off. And she's like, I think your mic's on. I said, no, it's turned off, which would not be good because I don't really have a good singing voice. So we get through all of that, and then we have a walkie-talkie that they give us, a two-way radio at the theater, just because it's so big, and so if we have to talk to managers. Well, I left that two-way radio by my seat, and all of a sudden, in one of those quiet moments, it goes off, and it's the manager talking to someone else in the theater. And I'm like, oh, good Lord, like, what else can happen? So I grab this two-way radio. We're in the transition time. Michelle's coming up to the front to do some announcements, and I've got the radio, and I walk out of the theater, and our ushers and hosts are right at the front door, and I'm laughing with them, like, well, what else can go wrong? Like, you know, it's so many things. And all of a sudden, I hear Michelle's voice come from inside, and she said, dude, your mic's on. Everyone in the theater is hearing me kind of complaining and just laughing about this whole thing. The best part of the story is afterwards, the lady came up, and she said, I finally figured out something today. She said, I finally figured out why I love coming here. She said, because it's messy, it's not perfect. And she said, that's exactly the way that my life is. I feel comfortable here. Embarrassing to go through, for sure. But if we can create an environment where people feel safe, where they feel like, man, people will understand. We use a couple phrases a lot at Urban Road. One is called stories in motion, because that's what life is about. None of us have it fully figured out. We're all on this faith journey together. And if we can take some steps and movement forward, then God is at work in us. And it's the other one that we use is broken messiness. And I love that idea that's there. That out of the messiness of our lives, out of the challenges, that God can actually bring beauty. Isn't that what the Bible says? That he brings beauty from ashes. Nothing is wasted when God is concerned. And we did a series a while ago called Nothing Wasted. And I never seen this aspect of it, but in Joseph's life, if you remember at the very end of his life, he says to his brothers after he's walked through this just brutal circumstances through his life, remember what he says to his brothers? He says, what you meant for evil and harm, God actually intended for good. The word that he actually uses there that God intends is literally the word to rethread. Think about that for a second. How many times in life when you're met with a challenge or a situation or a circumstance that you think, how can anything good come out of it? God gets in there and he begins rethreading it. He begins rewriting it. He begins turning it around. And we've seen some just incredible stories of people whose lives have turned around. Let me tell you about Penny. She came to her, with her family a few years ago. Her sister has some kids, and her sister's kids and our kids are at the same school. We got to know her sister Lindsay for a little bit. Penny did not grow up in church. She attended Sunday school a couple times as a kid. That was it. So we're talking again that post-Christian culture. But one day she just felt in her spirit, and she couldn't describe it other than just, I knew there was something more that needed to happen. And so she's talking to her sister, and her sister, who also grew up in that background, says, I know of this church in a movie theater. Why don't you go check it out? And so Penny came with her family, and it's been incredibly just a privilege to see what has happened in their lives. They told us fairly soon into it, they're sitting so uncomfortable even with two songs happening. And it's a dark theater, so it's not like people are there, but they said, we feel so uncomfortable. But they said, we're willing to sit through this because when you guys get up and start talking, it's making sense. And we began seeing over the coming weeks, and they would actually schedule their vacations so that they wouldn't miss church. It was just, God was beginning to do some things. Anyway, she comes to faith, and as she's describing it, and again, think post-Christian, because how she described this could be offensive, but this is her words. She said when the time came when she tells the Facebook world that she's come to faith. She said, the only way I know how to describe it is she said, I came out of the closet today. She had no other language to describe that conversion other than saying, I'm putting it out there, but I don't even know what words do you use for this. And so she and her family, like I say, have come out that way. She was looking to maybe get involved with kids, but she's like, I could maybe tell them about Noah's Ark. That's about it. And so, but she's helping with her kids' midweek group now. They have actually spearheaded and were the driving force. We're heading down to Mexico next month with a bunch of families. And so they said, we want to take our kids on a missions trip experience. Their whole family has been radically transformed. Well, about 2 years ago, we had the privilege of baptizing her in a hot tub. Because when you're in a movie theater, you don't really have many options. And so you find wherever there's water. But not only that, this is the part of the story that I love. We had the privilege of baptizing their entire family. The kids came to faith. Entire families just changed. That's what it's about. These are people that would never step foot. And she said, we never, ever would have come had it not been in a movie theater. Just amazing. Same day, our friends Ryan and Karen, I've known Ryan for years. They've actually moved next door to us, but Karen has come from an incredibly amazing background. She's blogged about it, and this thing has just hit the stratosphere. I think it's 20,000 hits now on it, but we had her share. She is a cancer survivor. She was sexually assaulted, raped two different times when she was in her early 20s. She and Ryan have been married now. They have two kids. Actually, she's a two-time cancer survivor, I should say that. Their son is autistic. And we had her share her story because she has come to faith. And through all of that, she said, you know what? I thank God for all of those circumstances because God's made me stronger through that. God has shown me that nothing is wasted. And so it's become this story of redemption and grace. And so we had the privilege as well of baptizing them. Again, I could go through different stories. This family, messy situation, even by their own admission. They started coming a year ago. They were literally the night before they came. And they were actually invited by Ryan and Karen, so you can start seeing a progression that's happening here. The night before they came, they were just about to call it quits on their relationship. Kids from all different marriages, and it's messy. But they came, and it was New Year's Day, and we had people just sharing stories of what they've learned over the past year. And we had little Mary, who's 85-ish, stood up and she said, one of the things that God is teaching me is to let go and to let God. She sat back down. Those four words sent this family onto a faith journey. All of a sudden, they said it was like God was just speaking, and they've written that down. And so Jill shared last Sunday, I guess it would have been, a bit of their story of what's happening. It's still messy. They're still working things out. But she said, every time we get up and come to Urban Road on a Sunday, she said, it's like you guys have been spying on us in our house. She said, you must be creeping us, because things that we're talking about or things that we're questioning or things that we're wondering about, you guys get up and start speaking about it. She said, it's kind of spooky. So that's the Holy Spirit, isn't it? And then Helen is another lady. And so there's just been so many stories that are happening there. But all that to say, pray. Discover what your context is in this city. Reach out to people that are around. I love a quote by Bob Goff, who said, God doesn't break things so he can fix them. He fixes broken things so he can use them. That's what it's about. Paradigm shift. What does that take? Well, you need to think and respond differently. And so for us, we've developed a little bit of an unusual rhythm. So we meet three times, and then the fourth Sunday, we have what we call Walk It Out Sunday. And so Walk It Out, we say to people, we're not meeting at Colossus. We're giving you a guilt-free weekend to go be Jesus in your neighborhood. Maybe it's having someone over for coffee, because we live in such a busy culture, don't we? We don't have time for people. We don't have time for things. I remember at my old church that I would, and I've told this story so many times at Urban Road, I would leave my back door, walking to our garage. I'd see my neighbor, say, hey, Roberto, get in my car, drive across town to the church so we can have a meeting about how to reach your neighbor. Think about the disconnect there for just a moment. All of a sudden, it was like, that was the opportunity 20 minutes ago. And now I'm here talking about it when I should be out just doing it. And so we said, is there a way that we can adapt to this busyness and rhythm of life and church? And so we created Walk It Out Weekends. And so sometimes we go as smaller groups. We do different things. I'll share a couple stories that are really neat about that. Sometimes on the second Sunday of the month, we do what we call an Unplugged Sunday. And an Unplugged Sunday is pretty much it's unscripted. We might have a ministry like International Justice Mission come in. We show a documentary on the big screen, or we talk about it. Or Michelle and I will say, here's the topic. And we won't talk about it with each other. We'll just sit down and have a conversation. So it's very raw, very in the moment. People will tweet in questions or maybe do some things that way. But a way to engage and ask people about things. This was Karen sharing her story last year, and it was just such a powerful, powerful time. And so people have volunteered, though, with our Walk It Out Sundays different ways. We've made sandwiches. We've got a girl that comes to Urban Road that she is a special ed teacher, special assistant at her school in Langley. Our kids that don't get breakfast, a lot of them don't get lunches. And so she started feeding them breakfast in the morning. So we said, man, we got to get involved with that. So sometimes it's making sandwiches or doing some things that way. Let me tell you about our favorite one, though. And feel free to steal this idea, because we certainly stole it ourselves. But it was for our context. We contract a lot of times Urban Road into UR, which, again, was just a God moment. We never even realized the brilliance or what you could do with those letters. But we created something called UR Chalked. Isn't it true? We live in a culture where on any given day we encounter so much negativity. There are words that are spoken over people. There is a rawness to reality. And they say for every one negative thing, you need at least 10 positive reinforcements. And so we began with this question, what if in our little geographical section we did something different that was encouraging and positive? What could happen? And so we said, well, and we had heard of a church in Chicago that was chalking the block. And we said, that sounds like something we could do. And so sometimes on a Walk It Out weekend or other times, just we, for a while, just carried chalk in our car. And so if we were at a place, we would start writing some messages. Now, again, the parentheses to that is we've said to our people, no religious language. We're not going to do that. No turn and burn, you know, no overtly Christianese language. But can you still be prophetic? Can you still be engaging by writing truth, but just in the language of our culture? And there's nothing, like we've said, of kneeling in your city street writing chalk messages. And so we've hashtagged it, if you're on social media, to You Are Chalked. And we thought it would be picked up maybe by Twitter. We didn't realize at the time that Instagram was going to take off. But these are just some examples, and you probably can't see it from there, but just things that people have put. Life is a gift, hashtag You Are Chalked. Doubt kills more dreams than failure ever will. Our world needs you. You're loved. You're needed. Life is a journey. I think I've got one other slide here. You have a purpose. Your life matters. Enjoy the little moments in life. You're made on purpose for a purpose. So again, very simple type phrases that are there. And yet, all of a sudden, we began getting these responses. Let me read just a few of them. And some of them are just simply from runners along the way, which are hilarious. People said, hashtag a picture, and then underneath said, someone just made my whole neighborhood smile. Another runner, it was funny. He said, I was just at the point where in my run, I was just about ready to just like call it a day. I'm tired. I'm grumpy. All of that. He comes around the corner and there facing him on the sidewalk is don't give up. He said, all right, I got to keep going. Another one said, feeling the love today. Thank you to whoever made my run this morning more inspired. Someone said, my run keeps turning to intervals on this route. How could I not stop? And then it kind of takes a turn. There's someone that had come across one that said, pain doesn't define you, it only makes you stronger. And a year later, she goes back onto that picture, and here's what she said. And I have no idea who this person is. She said, I remember a year ago I was running, and I came across this. I used to be happy and healthy. Now I just count down my days. I miss those days so much. I really am messing up my life. The worst part is it feels like nothing can make it better except You Are Chalked. Can you hear the brokenness that's in there? And a year later, she's still remembering those words. Someone came out and said, God definitely has a sense of humor when he tries to tell me something. I woke up today feeling a little bit discouraged. As I'm walking to the bus stop, I find this on the corner of my street. How awesome is that? Whoever writes this is such a blessing. It said, don't give up. You matter. Again, you never know what your words will speak into someone's life. And so it's a very simple thing. You can't really get in trouble for sidewalk chalk because it washes away with the rain. So, you know, don't take spray paint and do stuff like that. Going back to, everyone's pointing. Going back to little Mary. She was so cute. She was telling Michelle, said, I was walking on the street one day and I saw this message on the sidewalk. And she said, I knew it was from Urban Road. But here's what she said. She said, even though the rain has washed it away now, every time I go to that crosswalk, I remember. Could it be as simple as that? Could you imagine blitzing terrorists just in the summertime with just messages of hope, message of encouragement? You're special. You know, forgiveness is available. There's all different things that are there. Just allow the creativity to take place. This is my favorite one. It's powerful, I think. Have no idea who this kid is. You may not be able to see it, but it says, never, ever give up. I remember when this came through. Just broke something inside. Saying, can you imagine what was going on? What's the story behind this, that this mom, you know, comes across it at this moment with her son? It's just burned deep within us. Well, in July, Michelle and I are sitting in a restaurant, and I look over, look back, look over. I said to Michelle, that looks like the kid that's in the picture. And so she's like, yeah, I think it is. So we actually went over and talked to them and said, pulled out the phone. It was a bit awkward. Is this you? But we got to talking to the mom a little bit, and it was just a neat way to actually meet Sean, is the little boy that's there. And I don't know what song it's from, but there is his favorite song actually had those words in it. You never know what's going to happen. Love has no boundaries. We've done, I noticed my time is almost up here. We do things that we started a couple years ago called Fun in the Sun. Some of our volunteers. And so it's just a big community party that we put on for kids. We do games. We do all sorts of stuff that way. It's free. No strings attached. No bait and switch saying, why can't we just go out and have a celebration? Invite families that can't afford things necessarily. And let's just be Jesus. Allow love and conversations to happen and to take place. And it's been neat. The first year, I think we had 150 kids. And the second year, I think over 300. And it's been crazy what's been happening. But just step out. There's so many different ways to get involved. We had life-size Angry Birds, which was a lot of fun. That thing flew. I mean, kids, you can see that was the first year. Kids were lined up for 30 minutes just to have a turn at it. What kid that age, you know, would stand 30 minutes not complaining because they wanted desperately to do Angry Birds? We did an event our first year at the theater at Christmas time, just a one-day, four-hour event. And we had a kid that showed up. We had 11 of our own kids. We had 100 kids from the community that showed up. And one of them, Michelle was talking to his grandmother. Not his grandmother, it was a friend of hers, this grandmother brought this little kid that his mom had died a year or two previous and his dad had just been murdered. You never know what happens in people's stories. If your dreams don't scare you, they're probably not big enough. That was some of the kids that were there. And then you can see in the top, Claire and Tommy, she started a little Kids Catalyst group. Our Catalyst is our small group network. This was in our basement a year ago. I had some of the kids from our group. She left, that's when she came back up. And so we took it with our kids pastor, took it to another home, kind of outgrew that. We've now started at our kids' school, which is a public school just up from us, midweek Catalyst group. And they're getting 24 kids now, I think. We've had over 30 for a movie night. That type of thing, kids from the community that are just coming, and it's just been neat to see what's happening. It's just simple things, but just getting into people's lives that are there. Let me just finish up with this last part, and again, we could spend so much time. We did an entire series this fall on these three things, but if you're taking notes or take a picture with your phone, or I can get these to you. But I think that whether you're an existing church or a church plant, these three things are probably the most critical three ingredients or ideas that a local church needs to hold on to be effective. And they are what we call the image of God, the presence of God, and the mission of God. And we talked about all these different Latin terms that were there. But the Imago Dei is this beautiful aspect that every person is created in God's image. Genesis 1 talks about that God creates man in his image. See, if we can look at that, every life has value and worth. If we look at just the messiness of it, we miss it. But if we can look at it saying every life, regardless of that messiness, is a life that is valuable to God, his love has no boundaries, all of a sudden it changes things. All of a sudden we can begin seeing things take place in a new light. Scott McKnight said this, if your goal is being right, then you can wash your hands off of a person. But if your goal is love, you can't. That's a pretty serious, sober reality that's there, and yet there's nothing like it. Let me give you a verse here, Ephesians chapter 5. I love it, and this ties in, I think maybe Jamie left. No, Jamie, you're back there. Loved the songs that you picked today because it ties in so much. But this is really the heartbeat of what we do. Ephesians 5, verse 1 and 2 says it like this in the message. Watch what God does, and then you do it. Like children who learn proper behavior from their parents. Mostly what God does is love you. What an understatement. Mostly what God does is he loves us. So keep company with him. Learn a life of love. Observe how Christ loved us. His love wasn't cautious, but extravagant. We sang that. He didn't love in order to get something from us, but to give everything of himself to us. So love like that. If we can grab hold of that, because people are made in his image, it changes everything. Your neighbor, your coworker, the people you go to school with, all of that, people are made in God's image. We can never write off what God will do. All of those people I showed you were least likely candidates for God's grace. And that's just a smattering of what, of people that are coming, of what's taking place. The second one is this aspect of Coram Deo. It means to live before the face of God. In other words, we live awakened to his presence. Just go and listen to what God asks you to do, no matter if it's picking up some sidewalk chalk or throwing a free community event for kids or whatever that is, buying a cup of coffee for someone. There are so many different ways to represent that wholeness and peace that's there. Acts 17 says, in him we live, we move, we have our being. It's this aspect of shalom that God is asking us to bring wholeness and completion and this completeness into the world that we live. And then finally, the Missio Dei means the mission of God. And I love it. John chapter 1, verse 14. And again, the message, I love it. It says, the word became flesh and he moved into our neighborhood. I love that. That's what being incarnational is about, just moving into the neighborhood. God does that. And so if he does that, he's asking us to be part of that as well. And so, again, there's so many different things we could talk about of that. Let me leave you just with the last quote here. Here's a test to find out whether your mission in life is complete. If you're alive, it isn't. Your life on mission matters. We're called to live out. And it doesn't have to be complicated. Again, what we're doing isn't always going to work for everyone. And so it's not here saying, we figured out the solution. You know, let's market it and make a book and make millions and sell it. No, we've tried a bunch of things that have also not worked. But we're learning along the way. We'll do what it takes to see people connect to Jesus. And so our life on mission matters. And so, again, there's all of those things that we can look at. Too often we underestimate the power of a touch, a smile, a kind word, a listening ear, an honest accomplishment, or the smallest act of caring, all of which have the potential to turn a life around. You never know what your words, what your actions will do. That's all the time that I have, but thank you so much for letting me just share a little bit about what's happening. It's an adventure. We coin it that way. It's a faith adventure. But we are continuing to trust God along the way through the challenges, through all of those obstacles that are there. But I want to pray a prayer of benediction. And we had prayed this to our crew just a little bit ago. And so impactful. But it says this, may today there be peace within. Oops. I don't have it memorized. See, this is my track record right here. Did I press something here? Oh, okay. It's the very last slide, so. Bit of a snapshot. I don't know if we're frozen. I apologize. You just never know what God will do. Okay, let me pray in the meantime, and then if that comes up, I'll pray that. But Jesus, I thank you for today and just this opportunity to share some stories that I pray would encourage and would enable each of us to just move a step forward, another step in our faith journey. God, I thank you for the encouragement of just even being here today. And God, I love just seeing another church in action, and what an encouragement that is to my own soul as well, and to see that there are people in cities and places all over our great nation and all over the world that are loving Jesus and trying to do what you ask us to do. And so, God, I pray that as we continue to head on mission, that we would see people for who you see them as, people of infinite, inestimable worth and value, and that we'd be awakened to your presence, and that we would love like Jesus loves, extravagantly, without holding back. And that we would see our culture, we would see our world changed because of Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.